Thank you.
So we have a little running joke with Bronson that he's Bronson the Hammer. And so he's bringing the hammer today. He's going to strike it down. He's bringing the word, right?
Yeah.
He's the hammer.
Yeah.
So give it up for the hammer.
What was your nickname? Do you want to share that? No.
I don't know. Not at church. Okay. No. Anyways, all right. Let's pray for this guy. Lord, we're grateful for our brother that he's sought you on our behalf, Lord, to bring your word to us. I pray for your Holy Spirit just to strike him right now. Like he'd be the lightning rod for us. That he would edit out anything that's his, and that you would just speak your word and flow through him. Pray that you prepare our hearts. We love you and thank you for him. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Well, everybody, buckle up because we have a long journey ahead. Yeah. I wonder if the Grand Canyon is worth the drive. Is it? Actually, I did see it once, and it was. It is indescribable. I wonder if the Mona Lisa is worth the plane ride. Has anybody seen that? Have you seen it, Ken? Really?
It's actually like literally this big.
What's it like?
Yeah. The Mona Lisa, which it's cool, but like it was funny because you're like, what about this gigantic, you know, house-sized painting that nobody cares about? So, anyways, it's still pretty cool.
How about the pyramids? Have anybody seen the pyramids here? Ken?
Yeah, it was cool.
Was it?
Bigger than Mona Lisa.
Nice. Could you explain it? Just cool, or is it? I mean. Take me there.
You've seen them in pictures, and then when you see them in person, it's just, it's crazy. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Plus the camel bubble.
Mm-hmm. Well, a good movie is obviously not the same as the review, right? You got to watch the whole movie. Same with a TV show, same with a good book, and same with a good story. And the story of Joseph, in my opinion, is so hard to condense down to really give it to you. And it's such a poetic story. I think it's my favorite story in the Old Testament, actually. And then some would say it's like as magnificent as the pyramids. I mean, like literally, this is such a unparalleled story, and it was put together so well. Like, there's amazing human features and ironies, and I think it's like the Book of John. You guys like the Gospel of John? In my opinion, is so beautiful. You know, it's so well written. So we're gonna read the whole book of Genesis today. No, I'm just kidding. but I do need some readers because we are gonna read a lot. So, Janet, you're one. Can you, Janet, please read chapter 42? Is this okay? I mean, so let me just say this. I kind of teed it up. My thought behind this is it's hard to explain something unless you've experienced it. It's hard to explain like a concert. You just saw a concert and you tell someone, you just gotta go. Just go see Taylor Swift. It's amazing. It'll change your life, you know? But I can't like change your life by telling you about it. You have to kind of feel it and experience it, yeah? So would you guys be okay to read like 20 minutes this morning? I think we'll all benefit from it, truly, like more than me just explaining it. I think we need to experience this together. It's a beautiful story. So we're going to do this, yeah? Are you buckled in?
Let's do it.
All right.
The word of God.
Yeah, it's the word of God. Chapter 42, that's you, Janet. 43, that's you, Chris. 44, Anybody want 44?
I'll take it.
Robin? 45? 45. I'll do... You got 45? Yeah?
Sure.
I want something, though. What can I read? I'll do... How about I do... How about I do 45? Is that okay, Danny?
Oh, sure.
Thank you. I give it back.
You can take it, preacher.
Okay, good.
It's yours.
All right. Good. All right, here we go.
Let's have to be with the mic.
Yeah, good idea.
We were on the 40.
All right. I'm gonna tee it up a little bit, Janet. Are you ready? Okay. I'll start at... Chapter 41, verse 37. This is so nice. We're just going to read scripture together. This is wonderful. All right, as we know, we're in the story of Joseph. Joseph's brothers, this is just like a tee up, they sold him into slavery, right? Joseph's dad, Jacob, was really heartbroken over the matter. And then Joseph is sold into slavery. The wife of his master claims that he tried to rape her, which is a lie. Then he goes to prison. Then he's in prison. He interprets some dreams for people. And then 2 years later, so after 2 years in prison, then finally he gets out. He gets his chance in front of Pharaoh. And at that time, that's like the redemption part. It starts to turn around for him. And that's what we're going to read. So this is a story of forgiveness and redemption. And let's do it. I'll start at verse 37. Genesis 41. And then you'll go from 42, okay? Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, "Can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in a fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Then he had Joseph ride in a chariot reserved for his second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, "Kneel down." So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to him, "I am Pharaoh, but no one will lift a hand or foot in the entire land without your approval." So I'm going to skip a little bit. Joseph got a wife and two sons, crops grown in Egypt, and stored the grain from the surrounding fields in the cities. He piled up huge amounts of grain like sand on the seashore. Finally, he stopped keeping records because there was just too much measure. So they were collecting all the grain because the dream Pharaoh had was that there's going to be a drought in 7 years, but first there's plenty. So we're going to store up that plenty to get through the hard times. And that's what Joseph is doing. So God is saving Egypt through the prayer or through the dream. All right. Verse 50. During this time, before the first of the famine years, two sons were born to Joseph and his wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. Joseph named his older son Manasseh, for he said, "God has made me forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's family." Joseph named his second son Ephraim, for he said, "God has made me fruitful in the land of my grief." At last, the 7 years of bumper crops throughout the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph predicted. The famine also struck all the surrounding countries, but throughout Egypt there was plenty of food. Eventually, however, the famine spread throughout the land of Egypt as well. And when the people cried out to Pharaoh for food, he told them, "Go to Joseph, do what he tells you." So with severe famine everywhere, Joseph opened up the storehouses and distributed grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout the land of Egypt. And people from all around came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe. Janet.
When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you keep looking at one another? I have heard," he said, "there is grain in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there, that we may live and not die." So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he feared that harm may come to him. Thus the sons of Israel were among the other people who came to buy grain, for the famine had reached the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. When Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he said. They said, "From the land of Canaan, to buy food." Though Joseph had recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Joseph also remembered the dreams that he had dreamed about them. He said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land." They said to him, "No, my lord. Your servants have come to buy food. We are all sons of one man. We are honest men, and your servants have never been spies." But he said to them, "No, you have come to see the nakedness of the land." They said, "We, your servants, are 12 brothers, sons of a certain man in the land of Canaan. The youngest, however, is now with our father, and one is no more." But Joseph said to them, "It is just as I have said to you, you are spies. Here is how you shall be tested. As Pharaoh lives, you shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Let one of you go and bring your brother, while the rest of you remain in prison, in order that your words may be tested, whether there is truth in you, or else, as Pharaoh lives, surely you are spies." And he put them all together in prison for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do this and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here where you are imprisoned, and the rest of you shall go and carry grain for the famine of your households. And bring your youngest brother to me. Thus your words will be verified, and you shall not die." And they agreed to do so. They said to one another, "Alas, we are paying the penalty for what we did to our brother. We saw his anguish when he pleaded with us, but we would not listen, and that's why this anguish has come upon us." Then Reuben answered them, "Did I not tell you not to wrong the boy? But you would not listen, so now there comes reckoning for his blood." They did not know that Joseph understood them, since he spoke with them through an interpreter. He turned away from them and wept. Then he returned and spoke to them, and he picked out Simeon and had him bound before their eyes. Joseph then gave orders to fill their bags with grain and return every man's money to his sack and give them provisions for their journey. This was done for them. They loaded their donkeys with their grain and departed. When one of them opened his sack to give his donkey fodder at the lodging place, he saw his money at the top of the sack. He said to his brothers, "My money has been put back. It's here in the sack." At this, they lost heart and turned trembling to one another, saying, "What is this that God has done to us?" When they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them, saying, "The man, the lord of the land, spoke harshly to us and charged us with spying on the land. But we said to him, 'We are honest men, we are not spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no more, and the youngest is now with our father in the land of Canaan.' Then the man, the lord of the land, said to us, 'By this I shall know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me. Take grain for the famine of your households and go your way. Bring your youngest brother to me, and I shall know that you are not spies, but honest men. Then I will release your brother to you, and you may trade in the land.' As they were emptying their sacks, there in each one's sack was his bag of money. When they and their father saw their bundles of money, they were dismayed. And their father Jacob said to them, 'I am the one you have bereaved of children. Joseph is no more, Simeon is no more, and now you would take Benjamin? All of this has happened to me.' Then Reuben said to his father, 'You may kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my hands, and I shall bring him back to you.' But he said, 'My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he alone is left. If harm should come to him on the journey that you are to make, you would bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol.'"
Thanks.
No, Now the famine was severe in the land. And when they had eaten the grain that had brought them from Egypt, their father said to them, go again, buy us a little food. But Judah said to him, the man solemnly warned us, saying, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother with us, we will go down and buy your food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. Israel said, why did you treat me so badly as to tell the man that you had another brother? They replied, the man questioned us carefully about ourselves and our kindred, saying, is your father still alive? Do you have another brother? What we told him was in answer to these questions. Could we in any way know that he would say, bring our brother down? And Judah said to Israel, his father, send the boy with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you, and also our little ones. I will be a pledge of his safety. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. If we had not delayed, we would not have returned twice. Then their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the choice fruits of the land in your bags and carry a present down to the man, a little balm and a little honey, gum, myrrh, pistachio nuts, and almonds. Take double the money with you. Carry back with you the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise. Go again to the man. May God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, and may he send back your other brother and Benjamin. And as for me, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. So the men took this present, and they took double the money with them and Benjamin. They arose and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, bring the men into the house and slaughter an animal and make ready, for the men are to dine with me at noon. The man did as Joseph told him and brought the men to Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought to Joseph's house, and they said, it is because of the money which was replaced in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may assault us and fall upon us to make us servants and seize our donkeys. So they went up to the steward of Joseph's house and spoke with him at the door of the house and said, O my lord, we came down the first time to buy food. And when we came to the lodging place, we opened our sacks, and there was each man's money in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. So we have brought it again with us, and we have brought our other money down with us to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks. He replied, peace to you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has put treasure in your sacks for you. I received your money. Then he brought Simeon to them. And when the man had brought the men into Joseph's house and given them water, and they had washed their feet, and when he had given their donkeys fodder, they prepared the present for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. When Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present that they had with them and bowed down to him to the ground. And he inquired about their welfare and said, is your father well, the old man of whom you spoke? Is he still alive? They said, your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive. And they bowed their heads and prostrated themselves. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? God be gracious to you, my son. Then Joseph hurried out, for his compassion grew warm for his brother, and he sought a place to weep. And he entered his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out. And controlling himself, he said, serve the food. They served him by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at one another in amazement. Portions were taken to them from Joseph's table, but Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him.
That was a bad one. 44. Now Joseph gave these instructions to the steward of his house. Fill the men's sacks with as much food as they can carry, and put each man's silver in the mouth of his sack. Then put my cup, the silver one, in the mouth of the youngest one's sack, along with the silver for his grain. And he did as Joseph said. As morning dawned, the men were sent on their way with their donkeys. They had not gone far from the city when Joseph said to his steward, "Go after those men at once. And when you catch up with them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid good with evil? Isn't this the cup my master drinks from and also uses for divination? This is a wicked thing you have done.' When he caught up with them, he repeated these words to them. But they said to him, 'Why does my Lord say such things? Far be it from your servants to do anything like that. We even brought back to you from the land of Canaan the silver we found inside the mouths of our sacks. So why would we steal silver or gold from your master's house? If any of your servants is found to have it, he will die, and the rest of you will become my Lord's slaves.' 'Very well, then,' he said, 'let it be as you say. Whoever is found to have it will become my slave. The rest of you will be free from blame.' Each of them quickly lowered his sack to the ground and opened it. Then the steward proceeded to search, beginning with the oldest and ending with the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. At this, they tore their clothes. Then they all loaded their donkeys and returned to the city. Joseph was still in the house when Judah and his brothers came in, and they threw themselves to the ground before him. Joseph said to them, 'What is this you have done? Don't you know that a man like me can find things out by divination? What can we say to you, Lord?' Judah replied. 'What can we say? How can we prove our innocence? God has uncovered your servant's guilt. We are now my Lord's slaves, we ourselves and the one who was found to have the cup.' But Joseph said, 'Far be it from me to do such a thing. Only the man who was found to have the cup will become my slave. The rest of you go back to your father's peace. Then Judah went up to him and said, 'Please, my lord, let your servant speak a word to my lord. Do not be angry with your servant, though you are equal to Pharaoh himself. My lord, ask his servants, "Do you have a father or a brother?" And we answered, "We have an aged father, and there is a young son born to him in his old age. His brother is dead, and he is the only one of my mother's sons left, and his father loves him." Then you said to your servants, "Bring him down to me so I can see him for myself." And we said to my lord, "The boy cannot leave his father. If he leaves him, the father will die." But you told your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you will not see my face again." When we went back to your servant, my father, we told him what my lord had said. Then our father said, "Go back and buy a little more food." But we said, "We cannot go down. Only if our youngest brother is with us will we go down. We cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us." "Your servant, my father, said to us, 'You know that my wife bore me two sons. One of them went away from me, and I said, "He has surely been torn to pieces. And I have not seen him since. If you take this one too, and harm comes to him, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in misery. So now if the boy is not with us when I go back to the servant, my father, and if my father, whose life is closely bound up with the boy's life, sees that the boy isn't there, he will die. Your servants will bring the gray head of our father down to the grave in sorrow. Your servant guaranteed the boy's safety to my father. I said, "If you do not bring him back, I will bear the blame before you, my father, all my life. Now then, please let your servant remain here as the Lord's slave in place of the boy, and let the boy return with his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see this misery that would come upon my father."
Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, "Out, all of you, So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. Then he broke down and wept. He wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him, and the word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh. "I am Joseph," he said to his brothers. "Is my father still alive?" His brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize Joseph was standing there in front of them. "Please, please come closer," he said to them. So they came closer, and he said again, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery. But don't be upset, and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting, and God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace, and the governor of all Egypt. Now hurry back and tell my father and tell him that this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me master over all the land of Egypt, so come down to me immediately. You can live in the region of Goshen, where you can be near with your children and grandchildren, your flocks and your herds, and everything you own. I will take care of you there, for there are still 5 years of famine ahead. Otherwise, your household and animals will starve. Then Joseph added, "Look, you can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that I really am Joseph. Go tell my father of my honored position here in Egypt. Describe for him everything you have seen, and then bring my father here quickly." Now weeping with joy, he embraced Benjamin, and Benjamin did the same. Joseph kissed each of his brothers and wept over them. And after that, they began talking freely. The news soon reached Pharaoh's palace. Joseph's brothers have arrived. Pharaoh and his officials were all delighted to hear this. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers, this is what you must do. Load up your packs and hurry back to the land of Canaan and get your father and all the families and return here with me, or to me. I will give you the very best in the land and all of Egypt, and you will eat the best of that the land produces." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers, take the wagons from the land of Egypt and carry your little children and your wives and your father. Don't worry about your personal belongings, for the best of the land of Egypt is yours." That was good timing, right? That was hilarious. So the sons of Jacob did as they were told. So Joseph provided them with wagons, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he gave them supplies, and he gave each of them new clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 5 changes of clothes, 300 pieces of silver. He also sent his father 10 male donkeys loaded with the finest products of Egypt. So Joseph sent his brothers off. As they left, he called to them, "Don't quarrel about all this along the way." And they left Egypt and returned to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. "Joseph is still alive," they told him. "He is governor of all the land." Jacob was stunned at the news and he couldn't believe it. But when they repeated that to Jacob everything Joseph had told them, he saw the wagons Joseph had sent to carry them, and their father's spirits revived. Then Jacob exclaimed, "I must go. It must be true. My son is alive. I must see him before I die." A little bit more reading here. So Jacob set out for Egypt with all possessions. And when they came to Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. During the night, God spoke to him in a vision. "Jacob, Jacob," he called. "Here I am." "I am God, the father, the God of your father. Do not be afraid. Go down to Egypt, for there I will make you a family into a great nation. I will go with you down to Egypt, and I will bring you back again. You will die in Egypt, but Joseph will be the one to close your eyes." Thus reads the word of God. So that wasn't too bad. That was 20 minutes. Good job, everybody. So that story was originally just oral. And it's amazing to me to see all the little details, like Joseph wept on his brother's neck, you know? And that the redemption story at play here, it touches everybody. It touches the brothers. They get to tell their dad, like, hey, look, we screwed up, but guess what? It worked out, you know? They're like, yeah, he's actually alive, and he's not dead, and look at what God turned it into, you know, like a beautiful thing. But they also felt pain for years, you know, like 15 years. And 15 years, the father, so the redemption story hits everybody, the father, the brothers, and Joseph. And then really it spills out to the whole land, you know, that's what God does. He can't help but turn things into good. And the thing I want to say, and the thing God's telling me to say, is that you can't escape the pain. Like, the redemption happens, but the pain is there, you know, and it's real. And it's so real that, like, this story that's so old, it touches on the pain so well in each of these characters. But the redemption is there, too. Yeah, amen. So God works in our messy lives because he has a plan to work it out for his purposes. And that's the story of Joseph. I mean, Romans talks about it, all things work together for good of those who love God, but there's still pain. Our God takes everything, even the evil, and he makes it into this Mona Lisa. And really, we can't just, it's not a, you know, these days our Instagram and everything, it's so quick, you know, like, I'm trying to explain this, but like, yeah, it's not just this instant review of a story. It's like, no, I'm not going to really understand this stuff until I'm Kenny's age or Wes's age. Like, we got to really walk this out. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, 20 minutes, I kind of play with that because we read for 20 minutes. Oh, how awkward. But how about, like, 20 years of pain? Like, how about 15 years of not having a son or not knowing if he's alive or, you know, fighting addiction for 20 years. Like, what's that like? Do we believe God can still redeem that kind of stuff? Like, yeah, he can. That's what he's in the business of doing. He's in the business of turning ashes into beauty, you know? And it's not always quick. It's funny because I'm 32 and I've done apprenticeship stuff for 5 years, and I just keep kicking myself, like, why don't I know this stuff already? Like, I learn something new every day at work, but it's frustrating because I want to know it. I want it to be easier, you know? And the older guys look at me and they go, dude, it's only after 10 years that you really know what you're doing. You know, you've had 5 and you're qualified to work on an elevator, but you don't really know what you're doing until 10 years. I'm like, wow, okay. And then even them, at 30 years in, they're still learning new stuff. So this idea that it's going to be pain-free is silly. And this idea that God just redeems everything instantly as soon as you become Christian, it's like, he does, but there's still pain. You know, there's still a lot of trials and famines. And I've heard it said, God's not in the business of prevention, but redemption. So whatever you guys are going through, don't lose the hope that God can redeem it and make it even better and turn your messy thing into something beautiful, or turn your mistakes, like the brothers, into part of his redemption story, you know. So remain hopeful, faithful, and curious as God tells his redemption story in your life. It may take more than you would like. It may take a lifetime. In your family and the world, God is still sovereign. Jesus is like our Joseph, providing us food in the famine. We must trust him and turn to him. And he can turn anything into beauty. Our God has it covered. Amen. All right, that's it for today.